Transportation will come to order. Welcome, everybody. A little slow starting. I'm going to go ahead and open a work session on Senate Bill 579. Pat, remind us.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 579, we heard this bill way back on May 11th. It's a measure that requires operators of motor vehicles to secure passengers under 16 years of age with either a child safety system, safety belt, or safety harness while operating a motor vehicle under the premise on premises open to the public. If you recall, at that time, there was discussion about the use of child safety systems, and as it relates to that, you have in your packet the dash A7 amendment, which I believe we have folks here who can speak to if the committee has questions. The dash A7 amendment revises the language related to use of safety belts and safety harnesses and deletes references to the use of child safety systems. It also specifies that the measure applies to all Class 2 all-terrain vehicles into Class 1 all-terrain vehicles that are not registered under ORS 803.420. The dash A7s have a minimal expenditure and no revenue impact statement.
Thank you. And I'll go ahead and ask Jen and been a long day for me. Lindy.
Yes, I can't believe you.
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Jen Lewis, legislative aide to Senator Metzger. I'm happy to answer any questions or to walk you through the amendment, whatever your preference is.
Are there questions?
Oh, did we hear the amendment last time?
No.
No, sir.
Can we have a brief description?
Can you go ahead?
So this amendment clarifies the bill quite a bit. I think it makes the bill a better bill. What it basically does is it requires on Class 1 or Class 2 vehicles or premises open to the public, anyone under 16 they're required to use a seatbelt if the seatbelt is on the vehicle. They're not required to add one or do anything else. If the child fits, let me backtrack. If the vehicle is a registered on-road vehicle and it's taken off-road and becomes a Class 2 vehicle, so these are your Jeeps, pickup trucks, that type of thing, and those vehicles only, kids would be required to use child safety seats, the same requirements that are on-road. So your infants that are on-road in the Jeep that are using child safety seat, when it's taken off-road, they would still be required to use that. We removed the requirement for the child safety seats in other vehicles aside from those.
Any other questions? Anything else either anybody wants to add? Okay. All right.
Are we in work session, Madam
we
Chair?
We are in work
are
session.
Are you entertaining a motion at this
I will
part?
Entertain a motion.
Madam Chair, I move the dash A7 amendments to Senate Bill 579.
Representative Call has moved the dash A7 amendments to Senate Bill 579. Any discussion? Seeing none, any objections? The amendments are adopted.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I move Senate Bill 579 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Call has moved Senate Bill 579 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? We're a talkative group today, aren't we? Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Bailey, Representative Bent?
Aye.
Representative Berger?
Aye.
Representative Boone?
Aye.
Representative Edwards, Representative Schaffler?
Aye.
Representative Widener, Representative Widener?
No.
Representative Gilman? Representative Call?
Aye.
Chair Byron?
Aye. And the record showed that Representative Bailey and Representative Edwards are excused. And with that, the motion passes. And is there anyone who would love to carry this bill? We can all jump.
I'll carry it, Madam Chair.
Representative
Mr. McGlad
Thank
was
my,
you. Used to be my neighbor.
used to be your neighbor, is your neighbor.
Council, right? I'm going to go ahead and open a work session on Senate Bill 9. Oh, close the work session on Senate Bill 579 and open a work session on Senate Bill 944.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This bill We heard on the 15th, it's the bill that directs Lane County Governing Board to develop a proposed charter for the formation of an Area Commission on Transportation for Lane County. In your packet, we have the dash A2 amendment. That amendment adds requirements for the proposed charter, including a description of the criteria to be used in prioritizing project selection and statement of expectations for feedback from OTC, description of conflict resolution process, plan for regular and consistent communication and coordination among area adjacent acts and metropolitan planning organizations. That stipulates that if the proposal includes a process for establishing membership, terms of office, and voting procedures consistent with policy guidelines, OTC may not reject the proposed charter based on the composition of its membership. The amendments direct OTC to schedule a meeting with the governing body of Lane County, local elected officials, and transportation stakeholders to discuss the proposed charter. You have in your packets, I believe, a copy of those A2 amendments and also the minimal fiscal and no revenue impact statement for those dash A2 amendments.
Thank you. Okay. We're in a work session, and I would... Sorry, I better back up a little bit. The amendments that have been offered came from Lane County. My understanding is they reflect the discussion that they've had with the Department of Transportation and that the two sponsors of the bill are okay with them. And so I would...
entertain a motion.
I would.
Madam Chair, I move the dash A2 amendments to Senate Bill 944.
Representative Call has moved the dash A2 amendments to Senate Bill 944. Any discussion?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Just looking at this with 205, and I'm just thinking of where you get on to it and everything. I don't know how many people have went through toll roads or toll booths and everything, but...
944.
Oh, I'm on the wrong one. Sorry. We'll get to that one next. So...
This is the act for Lane County, so probably, you know.
It's a great bill to pass.
Good. Any objections? Amendments are adopted. Representative Call.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 944. As amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Call has moved Senate Bill 944 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? This is kind of take care, you know, bring your own dirty laundry to the legislature to try to take care of the bill. But
you think this will clean it out?
It might help.
Okay, well, I'm for it, then, Madam Chair.
Did they need this approval to do it?
They needed this push.
That kind of approval.
Yes. The clerk will call.
Representative Bailey, Representative Bent.
Aye.
Representative Berger.
Aye.
Representative Boone.
Aye.
Representative Edwards, Representative Schaffler.
Aye.
Representative Widener.
Aye.
Representative Gilman?
Aye.
Representative Call?
Aye.
Chair Byer?
Aye. And for the record, Representative Edwards and Bailey are excused. And Senate Bill 580, having received 944. See, I'm moving on. I'm trying to get us out of here, guys.
You have to carry it. It's your bailiwick.
Yeah. 944, receiving a quiet majority, is passed. And I'm going to assign that, actually, to Representative Holby.
Oh.
And close the work session on Senate Bill 944. And big, deep breath and sigh, I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 580.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 580, we heard on the 18th, this is a measure that directs the ODOT to collaborate with other governmental entities to implement tolling on the I-5 and 205 bridges that cross the Columbia River. The measure directs the Department to develop a rate structure that allows for congestion price indexing and submit the rate structure to Oregon Transportation Commission. We have two sets of amendments before us, actually. The dash A7s direct ODOT to conduct a study of tolling on I-5 and 205 bridges to determine the potential impact of tolling on congestion and whether tolling could reduce or eliminate the need for expanding the Columbia River crossing, and to report back to the 76th Legislative Assembly. And perhaps I should let the chair explain the dash A8s, since I don't believe I've actually finished reading this two-page document yet.
Colleagues, my enthusiasm for this bill, I've been trying to figure out what to do with it since we last heard it. The amendments I had drafted do reflect language that Washington State had adopted on the Columbia River crossing. And they really haven't been vetted by anybody, and I know that there definitely will be a fiscal, although the department will probably be doing it anyway. And we would have to suspend rules to adopt my amendments, and because we don't have the paperwork on them. And I don't know if you want to.
Yeah, I mean, if I could speak to my amendment, which is the dash A7s, and the problems that I have with the bill and with the dash A8s. My concern is that there has not been enough discussion in this building of the significant expenditure that's going to come with regards to the Columbia River crossing and for us to be better stewards of public dollars in this process. I'm not opposed to the Columbia River crossing as an idea. At some point, we're going to need to replace that bridge, and it might be that we need to replace that bridge right now. But tolling can reduce congestion and potentially forestall the immediate need to build that bridge and allow us to use those funds on other projects that may be more pressing. And the Dash A8s and the bill itself are geared towards tolling simply as an instrument of funding the Columbia River crossing, the plan that exists right now. And because of that, I can't support the bill in that regard. What my bill does, it instructs ODOT just to go one, my amendment does, is it instructs ODOT to just go one step further and say, yes, we're going to look at tolling. Yes, if we're going to look at tolling as a means of raising revenue and also a means at reducing congestion. And if we can significantly reduce congestion now, then maybe we can postpone the need to build the bridge into the future. And that bridge is not going to fall down anytime soon. That bridge is not the Selwood Bridge. It's not any number of critical infrastructure problems in the state. And so all I'm trying to do is say, let's get a timeline on this thing. Let's figure out what it is we need to build and what tolling can do in that regard. So I just feel like what I'm trying to do here is responsible with regards to public funds. So that's my two cents.
Thank you. Representative Schaffler.
Madam Chair, I think we've talked enough about it. I think we studied enough. And if it's a mechanism to reduce, if the mechanism of raising revenue to rebuild that bridge reduces tolling, great. It doesn't matter to me one way or the other. I want this as a mechanism to raise funds to rebuild that bridge so we can lower the time it takes to get through that part of our community with people that are commuting, traveling, or transporting freight. And I, with all due respect from my friend from Gresham, Alan Brown, my good friend Alan Brown said there's a time to talk and a time to vote. Well, in my humble opinion, Madam Chair, it's time to vote. And if you, I would like to entertain, are you entertaining a motion?
I am entertaining a motion.
And I would move Senate Bill 588 to the floor to pass recommendation. And Madam Chair, where are the rest of our committee members? Are they around?
Representative Bailey is testifying on a bill, and Representative Edwards is negotiating with the governor's office right now.
Well, if you call the roll and there's the votes, fine, but if there's not the votes, then I would request that they be present somehow so we can get a vote of the full committee. But cool. It's at your, okay. Whatever you wish.
All right. Thank you. Do pass to the floor.
With a due pass recommendation.
Madam Chair, might I ask a procedural question?
Yes.
Does that foreclose the opportunity of moving the dash A7 amendments?
Well, only if the vote, it does if the vote passes.
We're under a motion, Madam Chair, to move the bill to the floor as is.
Yes. Yeah. And if that motion passes, then yes, or not.
And if I'm on the winning side of that motion of the procedural question, I can move to reconsider?
No. Maybe
we should get the chief clerk down here.
So, committee, I'm going to go ahead and recess come back in 15 minutes. Thank you. we are back in... we are back from recess and are still in a work session on Senate Bill 580.
Madam Chair, I'd like to withdraw a previous motion.
Representative Schaffler has withdrawn his motion to send House Senate Bill 580 to the floor with due pass. Any objections? Seeing none, the motion is withdrawn. Recognize Representative Call.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My apologies to the committee. I move the -A7 amendments to Senate Bill 580.
Representative Call has moved the -A7 amendments to Senate Bill 580. Discussion. Representative Schaffler.
Madam Chair, I accept the representative's apology. And I'm going to repeat what I just said. Well, we studied these things to death. It's time to start collecting money to rebuild that bridge and get people and cars and commuters and freight moving and put Americans back to work. Like Alan Brown said, time to talk, time to vote. I'm studied and processed to death. I'm ready to do some work and build America. And I do not support the dash sevens.
Representative Call.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The dash seven amendments don't say we're not going to build the Columbia River Crossing. What they say is that instead of designing an ill-conceived bridge at a cost of $4.2 billion to the taxpayers without any examination of whether or not tolling can reduce congestion and forestall the need to spend $4.2 billion on that bridge, I've said my piece on this, but, to me, tolling can reduce congestion, and reducing congestion means freight can move, and it means we don't have to build that bridge right now. And to me, at the cost of this thing and the other projects we have around our state that desperately need funding, if we can postpone this, if we can reduce congestion, then we should do that. And that's all the Dash 7 amendments do. They say we're going to look at tolling, if we need a new bridge, the toll will help pay for the bridge. But if we don't, if we can put off the need for that bridge because tolling will reduce congestion, then that's what we should do. So this to me is just about, wasteful government spending and whether or not we're going to be good stewards of the public fisc. And as currently designed, currently envisioned, and currently proposed, the Columbia River crossing, without a full examination of ways to reduce congestion, is a wasteful, wasteful endeavor. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Representative Benz and then Boone.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just need some clarification. The motion is as to the -7 amendments, is that right?
Yes.
And then the -7 amendment reads after line 12 of the A in gross bill. And when I look at line 12, it looks to me like section 1 stays in. Am I right? Is that right?
Yes.
Madam Chair, I'm having a hard time reconciling section 1, sub 1 and sub 2, with section 2 of the A-7. Maybe perhaps President Call could explain to me how those two are reconciled, section 1 and section 2.
Yes, Representative Vince. I actually don't have the bill in front of me, but I the idea is that we're not trying to so what we're not trying to do here is say that they're not mutually exclusive ideas, right? If congestion will not be reduced and there's no way to expand capacity other than build a bridge, then we'll toll the existing structure and pay to build a new bridge. But which is what the original bill envisions. All my amendment does is say we're also going to look at tolling to reduce congestion to potentially postpone the need for that bridge. I think that that's how those two things fit together.
Yes, follow up.
As a read section 1, it reads the DOT shall, looking at the original bill, make every effort to enter into any combination of contracts, arrangements, and so forth and so on, necessary to implement tolling and then report back. And then in section 2 it says that there'll be a study of tolling. Which is it?
Wait, conflict in language.
Well, I guess to answer that question, we simply were looking, it's both. We're going to look at what tolling effectuates, what it accomplishes. Does it accomplish the reduction of congestion, or if it doesn't do that, then does it accomplish raising needed funds to build the bridge? And once we have that information, then yes, ODOT should be instructed to go out and enter into a contract, enter into an agreement with Washington to effectuate the policy goal, whether that policy goal is to toll to reduce congestion or toll to build a new bridge. I don't have any problem with us entering into a contract with Washington around tolling. I just want to know what tolling accomplishes for us. And that's what the amendment is trying to do.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It just looks to me as though if we're directing the Department of Transportation to enter into any combination of contracts, it looks as though the idea is to implement tolling right now, not to wait for the study, which the amendment would suggest we're supposed to do. So are you saying that we are to go ahead and implement tolling while at the same time studying it?
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we should study it before we implement the toll. And that was the intent of the amendment. And at this stage in session, I got this into LC on Friday of last week, got it Tuesday, and handed it over to staff. So inartfully drafted though it may be, I think that the intent of the bill is pretty clear with the A7 amendments, which is that we would like to study what tolling does before we enter into an agreement with Washington. And I think that, Representative Vince, you can hopefully see the rationale for that, which is if tolling will reduce congestion, then the agreement we should enter into with Washington may be completely different than if tolling doesn't reduce congestion and we need to move expeditiously to remove the current structure and put a new one in place. But we're missing very important information in this debate about what the bridge should look like, first of all. But what this talks about is when the bridge should come into existence. When do we need it?
Thank you. I don't think I get to reach the merits of your thought the way that the amendment is crafted, because I don't think it tells the Department of Transportation what they're supposed to do first. I think you want the study first and then the action, whereas this, as crafted, tells the Department to make every effort to enter into any combination of contracts with any unit of government necessary to implement tolling. That's pretty clear.
And so it
seems to me if we're going to place the issue before this group in some clear way, I would be happy then to consider it. But it seems to me we're sending two conflicting signals. I'd rather not.
And under the PGE standard, Representative Benson, you know this, is that the canons of judicial interpretation that are going to govern this are not going to allow for two sections of any statute to be read in such a way that one is a nullity. And so your reading, while a possible reading, would render one of the two sections in almost impossible. Whereas if you give it my reading, which is that the study comes first and then the agreement comes second, that would be a logical reading. And I think that any agency in any court would take that interpretive stance. And I, not to disagree with you, but I do. Your reading is good. Is a valid reading of the bill. I just don't think that that's the one that anyone would take.
And you're okay. You have questions?
Now I can ask my question.
Okay.
We're having a really hard time separating ourselves from each other and ending this committee.
Yes.
The lawyers are starting to lawyer up. And I just don't want to leave. We're having such a great time. I'm going to stretch this out to the end.
Yes. So, no question,
Representative
Boone.
No, actually,
Representative
Shopler. Madam Chair, I think a lot of people would interpret it as my good friend from Eastern Oregon has. That's how I interpret it. We're implementing it, and then we're studying it. It don't matter. I don't want to study it before, during, or after. I want to start tolling, raising money to build a new bridge. to move freight and people and commuters and cars at a more efficient, environmentally friendly fashion.
Madam Chair.
There you go. I'm ready to move vote.
Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With your indulgence, I'm wondering if it might be helpful to call the department to answer the question of what exactly the department sees as its obligation under the existing bill and its obligations under the proposed amendments.
Thank you. I'm sure the out. Department is thrilled with your suggestion, but knowing that you're chairing the budget committee he sits in, we'll be very happy to come up. Thank you, Mr. Tindall.
Good afternoon, Chair Beyer, members of the committee.
Welcome.
Doug Tindall, Deputy Director of ODOT, Representative Shoffler. I'm the guy who drives the F-250 in the Buick LaCrosse.
You mean you got 50 miles an hour in the left lane?
It worked once. I'm in the uncomfortable position of having two lawyers. I don't know, as we looked at the A7 amendment, we had the similar question to the one that Representative Benz posed about just exactly how would you do this. But in order to meet the timelines to report back, it seems that we would have to start the motion of implementation even as the study was going on. I have not talked to DOJ about that, though, to find out if that's exactly what we would do.
Okay. Representative Edwards, yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Deputy Director Tindall, can you tell me what the department's process would be for establishing the rate structure as specified in the original bill?
Chair Beyer, Representative Edwards, actually, we are right now undergoing a series of white papers with public outreach around tolling. And so what we're trying to define, similar to what Representative Call has talked about, but in a little bit broader sense, is under what conditions would you toll? Why would you toll? Because there are a lot of reasons that people toll. A couple of them have been mentioned, but there may be other reasons. And then similarly, why would you choose, or what facilities would you not even bother to consider a toll on? So that as we go through this process, we will answer those questions, which would then lead to the dynamic of what does tolling do. If you price it low, you collect revenue. How much impact does it have on traffic? If you price it higher, it has a different impact both on revenue and traffic. So the process, we would just continue the process that we have in place of working through those tolling papers. Tolling's it's not new to Oregon, but it's new to this generation.
Madam Chair.
Yes, follow up,
please. So is it fair to say that in establishing the rate structure under the existing process, it's likely you'll touch on many of the issues that Representative Call would like to see addressed as part of his amendment?
Chair Beyer, Representative Edwards, yes. And as part of the tolling discussion that's going on broadly and specifically related to the CRC, you'll see what we call diversion statistics. In other words, how many people would divert and how many less people would be on the bridge or any other facility.
Representative Call.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Tindall. I appreciate your interpretation because it kind of contradicts, I think, the interpretation the bill was given last time we heard this by ODOT, and was the impetus for me creating the -A7 amendments. And the question that I asked then was, is it ODOT's position that Senate Bill 580 is a, as written, relating to the Columbia River Crossing project? To me, it seems like it's simply instructing ODOT to enter into an agreement with Washington to create tolls to pay for the bridge. And that's what it seems like it's doing simply at bottom to me. If it's doing more than that, if you're reading it more broadly to actually take into account congestion reduction as a result of tolling, and then using that information to actually look at a time frame for the implementation of the project, I would fully support that interpretation of 580 as it stands and be willing to be a yes vote out of this committee on that as well and stop being so darn oppositional. But that was not the interpretation I was given. So can you kind of explain that to me?
Chair Byer, Representative Call, I will try. The concern we have with 580 is Washington State Legislature passed some language to do a study. Senate Bill 580 directs us to move towards implementation, which we can't do without Washington State or the federal government, but we would have a different nature of a discussion. So that was our concern, is we weren't necessarily aligned with Washington State. The discussion that's going on now as it relates to tolling does get to those diversion numbers. You have to have those numbers for the tolling discussion that's required by the Washington State Legislature and, in fact, is required as part of the environmental document, because if you're going to consider tolling, you have to, in the environmental document, talk about the impacts of the tolling. And the impacts of the tolling are both on the not only the revenue raise, but also the amount of traffic that's diverted to other roads or other crossings. So it necessarily covers those things.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And then just moving one step further, would just really dig down on this. So we have tolling information. It says that we've got a study on tolling. We have this information. We know that it's going to significantly reduce congestion such that a new bridge isn't needed for X number of years. Will that information inform ODOT's future decisions on when the bridge will be created? And is it through this bill or is it through some other process that information, or it doesn't have to be through this bill, but is there a process at work that will potentially postpone the building of the Columbia River crossing if tolling reduces congestion and, you know, removes that necessity?
Chair Byer, Representative Call, that I'm trying to think about how to answer. This is an incredibly complex question. If you toll one penny, the diversion from the bridge or the reduction in congestion, as you're stating, it will be low. If you toll $100, the diversion from the bridge will be very high. So and you will get very little revenues, and it has other attendant impacts likely on the economy, but not only on the economy, on the other roadways to which people will divert. You're presuming that the trips are going to occur anyway. In a tolling, and that's a little bit of a misstatement, because in a tolling analysis, you're measuring both what happens in tolling, and it is different in every location that you toll. Two things happen. If you toll a roadway, you get diversion, and that diversion can either be people take another choice or they don't go. Those are the two choices they make. And to get, I think, to what you're looking at is a question about, and it's a part of the elasticity, what's called the elasticity component of the tolling analysis, to say that, well, if I get the tolls up to some level, all my traffic goes away and I don't have any money. And then you have to ask the question, well, if you don't have any money and you don't have any traffic, do you not build the bridge? The problem is, under the current federal law, states cannot toll an interstate facility if we're not improving it. That's the only way you can toll it. So it's a very difficult question to answer, and I don't know what would happen if we were to conclude that a high toll would alleviate enough traffic so that the bridge didn't have to be built. I don't know how to answer that question because there are too many moving pieces. I'd have to think about that for a while.
I guess what my question is not what, not how to, Madam Chair, if you don't mind.
Follow up.
What my question is ODOT going to, under this bill, is ODOT going to examine all of those pieces? Or is it simply going to look at tolling as a revenue-generating mechanism to build the envisioned CRC or something close to it as quickly as humanly possible?
Chair Byer, Representative Call, you can't do a tolling analysis and not look at those other aspects. That's what I'm saying. Because you will see, in the numbers that you'll see coming back, I'm don't let me mislead you, the focus would be on what is the toll optimization, and that optimization, when I say optimization, it's in the sense of generating revenue. But you can't do that analysis without saying, well, what if the toll was double the optimum rate? What would the traffic be on that bridge? And then you can call that question of saying, well, if you call the question and say, well, look, why don't you double the toll then to the maximum, the optimal rate, and not build the bridge? Except you can't toll it because you're not building the bridge. So you'll know the numbers will be there. The data will be there to look at that.
And just for the record, like I've said, what I'm not trying to do here is stop the Columbia River crossing from being built. What I am trying to do is figure out, is there a way in the near term to reduce congestion to put off the needed construction of the bridge, and whether ODOT is going to utilize the congestion information from the tolling to either elongate or truncate its envisioned timeline for the building of the Columbia River crossing.
Chair Beyer, Representative Call, I don't know how to do that since I can't toll an existing interstate facility without doing some construction on it.
So you're saying that no matter what we do here today, if we give you the power to go about tolling this interstate structure because of the federal government's requirement that tolling be used to maintain, repair, build, whatever it is you're tolling, that no matter what we do here today, A7s or not, the clear intent of this bill is to use tolling as a funding mechanism to, with all due haste, build the Columbia River crossing as currently envisioned by the Oregon Department of Transportation.
Chair Beyer, Representative Call, I think it's the tolling purpose is to relieve congestion as envisioned by the project and the purpose and need statement in the environmental document. Relieve congestion, thus improving travel time and safety. So yes, it is. It moves you towards construction. That is correct.
And all right. Well, that answers my question. Considering that the A7s apparently are impractical and impossible, I'll remove my mo. You don't think so, Jules?
Continue.
I'm done. I keep my motion on the table. Let's move with it.
Okay, Representative Bailey.
Welcome. Thank you, Madam Chair. Apparently, we're having a great conversation.
Surprise.
And the head shake was for something that I will ask you about in a second. But at first, did I hear you right? And this may be an offline conversation. Does your toll optimization model maximize revenues or maximize user benefits?
Chair Beyer, Representative Bailey, I believe it maximizes revenue, but I'd have to check that to make sure. But I think it maximizes revenue.
I think you may want to check on that. Madam Chair, follow up? Okay. And did I hear your answer to the question correctly that it's your contention that you can't study the potential impact of a tolling system and reduction of congestion without actually doing the tolling on the span?
No. Chair Beyer, Representative Bailey, no, I'm sorry if I implied that. No, we can study that. I mean, there's nothing that the way I read the A7 amendment, to go off and do a study to effectively say, the way I read the A7 amendment is how much would you have to toll to reduce the congestion such that you improve traffic flow on the bridge? That's the way I read the, and so you didn't have to build the bridge. That's the way I read the A7 amendment. And what I believe you get that number from our the tolling analysis and the elasticity in it. But I did not mean to imply that we have to toll the bridge in order to find that out.
Madam Chair? So I'm just reading through the A7s here, and the potential impact of a tolling system and the reduction of congestion and whether tolling could reduce or eliminate the need for expansion of the Columbia River crossing. And can you explain for me again why your modeling does not allow for that?
Chair Beyer, Representative Bailey, it's kind of a moot point because if I find, let's say I find that out, that, okay, if I have a toll of X dollars per trip, my demand reduces over the Columbia River crossing such that I don't have to build the bridge. It's an interesting data point. I can't implement that toll under existing federal law.
Follow up, Madam Chair?
Follow up.
I don't think that that's accurate, with all due respect. Given the word reduce in this amendment, you could potentially do a construction with a toll that would be sized differently according to the model projections on user benefits that you develop with your toll optimization model.
Chair by Representative Bailey, could you say that again? I'm sorry.
Thank you.
He said.
Let me say this another way. It is my interpretation of Section 2, Subsection 2. The word reduce would allow you to make an investment in expansion of the bridge with tolling, and that the word eliminate, we could debate whether or not that word is moot, but the word reduce would allow for an expansion of capacity with tolling such that it would satisfy the federal requirements on tolling in a way that your model would indicate the optimum level of infrastructure development given anticipated user benefits. Is that more clear?
Yeah. Chair Beyer, Representative Bailey, you're talking a smaller bridge. I think, if I interpreted that right, the issue is that bridge isn't, well, again, it all depends on how many cars we try and push over it and where that point becomes that the toll could be high enough to divert enough traffic. The problem is that the lanes on the bridge are primarily not for congestion relief. The lanes on the bridge are primarily a safety issue dealing with the on-ramps and off-ramps on the bridge. So you only have three through lanes of traffic. The other stuff that's going on there, all dependent on the volumes that are entering and leaving at the various interchanges within the bridge influence area, are not primarily for a capacity issue. Now, if you price high enough, so if it's possible to price high enough so that you reduce the amount of traffic that's coming on each of those and going off each of those on and off ramps, then you may be able to have a smaller footprint. But that is a tough thing to know for sure, because it would be much simpler if this was just simply all of the size of the bridge was all due to the amount of traffic that was moving over it. That would be an easier question to answer. But you would have to look at each individual ramp and the impacts of the tolls on each individual trip, not the total going across, but each individual trip going across. And I don't believe our tolling analysis does that. I don't think it gets that finite to say how many are coming on and getting off at each specific ramp. Because the toll, I don't believe, and I haven't been to one of the financial meetings lately, but I don't believe that there's a consideration of having different tolls for different at different points where you enter that system. I think it's one toll across on the bridge at this point.
Representative Call, and I think I'm going to...
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Tindall, on your last comment, and this is something that... The Columbia River Crossing isn't just... I understand that we're tolling the bridge, but the Columbia River Crossing is a massive expansion of highways as well, right? It's 200 changes on our side, a significant number more on the Washington side. In fact, probably the largest single expansion of Washington highways since the Eisenhower era. This is a major highway investment on their side of the river. And so it seems to me that with the amount of highway work we're doing on the other side of the they're doing on the other side of the river, that we know how much traffic is moving there that's necessitating this massive increase in highway spending on the Washington side. I just don't understand how it could be so much more complicated then to move one step further and figure out how much traffic is going to be coming on through those things and what a toll would do to reduce that congestion. I mean, we've already done so much research about what we need with regards to expansion. Why can't we do the obverse of that analysis? Why can't we decide how much we can accomplish through reduction instead of expansion? I guess I'm just, Madam Chair, it's fine. Thank you, Mr. Tindall.
Thank you. And Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just going to retroactively withdraw my request for a witness.
Now you may.
I apologize, Deputy Director.
And you might as well sit there because after we've done this, I have a question on the bill for you. So with that, no more discussion. And the motion on the table is to adopt the -A7 amendments to Senate Bill 580. And the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Bailey?
Aye.
Representative Bentz?
No.
Representative Berger?
No.
Representative Boone?
No.
Representative Edwards?
No.
Representative Shoffler?
No.
Representative Widener?
No.
Representative Gilman?
No.
Representative Call?
Yes.
Chair Beyer?
No. Motion fails.
And Chair?
Representative Shoffler?
I move Senate Bill 580A to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Shoffler has moved Senate Bill 580A to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Discussion? We're all talked out finally. Yes. Mr. Tindall, what does this bill do that you can't already do?
Chair Beyer, it provides us, it doesn't, I think that we could do everything that's in that bill currently. As I read it, it provides us a direction to start doing it.
And I guess, are there advantages or disadvantages to being given the direction to do this?
Well, Chair Beyer, the concern that I have that that we meant to carry initially was around Washington has directed, the state of Washington has directed the department to do it in a study that actually touches on more than just tolling. It also touches on management techniques for the bridge to how do you improve capacity as to what the Washington state law directed the Washington DOT to do that study. So you got into both diversion. It also got into advanced traffic management types of tools that could further reduce congestion without construction. The concern that we have is that now we, Oregon, have direction to go to Washington and start trying to cut a tolling deal when they've got direction of trying to study a tolling deal. So it makes it a little awkward for how we deal with Washington DOT when we're trying to comply with our law and they're trying to comply with theirs, and the timing doesn't sync up real well.
Thank you. Representative Benz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is, I'm not going to ask the witness this question. Just as a remark, the phrase make every effort, I was going to ask him to give us a list of all those efforts that he'll soon start making, and I thought better of it.
Thank you. Any other questions? Representative Widener, you're okay now that...
Well, I've been questioned out. So.
Representative Edward.
And Deputy Director Tindall, since the bill does not preclude the department from doing the type of study that Washington State is doing, provided the governor gives you that direction, you certainly can do that prior to implementing the bill, correct?
Chair Beyer, Representative Edwards, because the study is part of the crossing project, we're into the project for 50% of the cost, we're going to do the study anyway. This will speed us up in terms of having the discussion about how do you go about implementing tolling.
Sure. Okay.
Thank you. Okay, the motion on the table is to pass Senate Bill 580, or do pass Senate Bill 580. And with that, the clerk will call the roll. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. You can go. That's the direction we're going. I just wanted to put something on the record. And this is a bill that's given me a big headache, and probably today you saw a little bit of why it's given me a headache. I don't live in the Portland area. And so I have some sympathy for everybody who lives there and has to deal with this project and this crossing. But I also know how important the project is for the state of Oregon and how much the rest of the state depends on it, and much to your detriment also, that you have to deal with that. And so I've been very supportive of going forward with the project. And I have misgivings about this bill, in that there has been a stakeholders group that has been working this project for a significant amount of time. And I think that we're, at this late date, trying to insert ourselves into those discussions. And I think that it takes time, and this project is expensive and is going to take some time to get the revenue that they need to do it. And I just needed to make sure I put that on the record as we move forward with this bill. I'm not even sure I support the bill after all of that, but a number of members in this committee really felt this was an important piece of legislation, so that's why we're here today. And with that, unless anybody else has any, you know, philosophical statements they need to make also, clerk will call the roll.
Representative Bailey?
Aye.
Representative Bence? Aye. Representative Berger? Aye. Representative Boone? Aye. Representative Edwards? Aye. Representative Schaffer? Aye. Representative Weidner? No. Representative Gilman? Aye. Representative Call? No. Chair Byron? No. The motion passes. And Representative Schaffer, would you like to carry this? Thank you. The work session on Senate Bill 5A is closed.
Really.
And committee, this is our last meeting, and I want to thank everybody for all their hard work and how much fun it's been. Yeah, this session. And hopefully we'll have a scheduled party to celebrate in the near future. And thank you for all your hard work.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
We are adjourned.